The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
When Gooch gets back out into the pocket, like, I remember trying to practice this for about 6 months after I was nearly dislocated. He does it two or three times in the first half. It's sensational.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
All right, you're welcome back. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you this evening. 53106 is the text number. A big weekend of hurling coming your way. Starting on Saturday, two Leinster Hurling Championship quarterfinals. Dublin play Antrim at Park Talchin at 3 o'clock. The winners of that will face Galway a week later. And then at 6 o'clock at Nolan Park, it's Laois against Wexford. The winners of that will play Kilkenny in a week's time. There's also a lot of games in the Joe McDonagh Cup, the Christy Ring, the Nicky Rackard and the Lion Mara Cup. While on Sunday then, it is the start of the Munster Hurling Championship, a quarterfinal clash of Waterford and Clare at Semple Stadium. That one gets underway at 3:30. The winners of that game will then go on and play Tipperary a week later in the Munster semi-final. So a lot to look forward to and a lot to talk about with Jamesy O'Connor, who's on the line. Evening, Jamesy.
Evening, Nathan. How are things?
I'm all right. I say a lot to look forward to and a lot to talk about. It's sort of difficult to preview this Munster and Leinster Hurling Championships because where are you on the league? Are you reading anything into it, or was it just there as a 5-6 game warm-up period and actually this weekend is when we start to actually learn something about these teams?
Yeah, I think there's certainly, you know, we learned something about teams during the league, and I think, you know, a lot of the concerns that were expressed early on, and we were talking about obviously the freeze and the, you know, the lack of the advantage rule and all those things. I think there was evidence, Nathan, as we got into it, you know, the referees were adapting and the players were adapting. And I certainly thought there was more bite, there was more intensity in the last rounds. I mean, I was a Clare Kilkenny in Ennis and it was a proper match.
Right.
Both teams wanted to win it. Both teams were bursting a gut. And I think it was refereed as well, more like a championship match than a league match. Johnny Murphy, and maybe he's been criticised in the past, maybe been a little whistle happy. I thought he was excellent, let the game flow, and both managers would have been delighted with the workout that they got for their side. So, look, at definitely teething problems early on, Nathan, and people were concerned, and you know, and listen, you know, we spoke in Atlanta Spurs on the issues, and you know, we weren't the only ones talking about it. I think there was universal, maybe worried that maybe, you know, is hurling going down the wrong path here. But I think it'll be sorted by the championship. And I think you'll see a difference. There was always a difference between league and championship. I think you'll see it this weekend, and particularly in Thurles on Sunday, where I'm expecting it'll be hell for leather and back to what we've come to expect.
So what was the biggest difference then, say, in that Clare-Kilkenny game at the very end of the league to a Clare-Antrim game at the start? Was it just the pace? Was it refereed completely differently as an experience?
I think a combination of things. I mean, certainly the pace. I mean, look at, like, you know, it was unlike last year's championship where guys had a club campaign under their belts and they had, plenty of games and they were match fit. You know, whereas this year, I mean, everyone was coming in cold. You know, you didn't have, you know, a league or a Walsh Cup campaign or a Munster League or whatever. You know, you didn't have Fitzgibbon Cup games. And that applied to referees as much as it did to players because, you know, referees would be refereeing schools matches, colleges matches, club matches, you know, those Walsh Cup matches, etc. And, you know, I think they took time to adjust as well to the changes and find their feet. So I think it's a case now where, you know, that process now, that warming up process, I think is over now. And I think everyone is attuned now to what's required. So for me, Nathan, a combination of the referee been much better. As I said, I thought Johnny did a really good job in that Clare Kilkenny game. You know, let the game flow. You know, probably was letting things fly that might have been pulled and blown for earlier on. And I think there was a sharpness about the players as well. You know what I mean? That their touch was better. Things seemed to be moving at a faster clip than had been the case earlier on. And I think overall, there was a better quality to it. One other thing that I think makes a little difference. There were 200 people at the game in Ennis.
Right.
And the Kilkenny 100 certainly, you know, were vocal at the kind of couple of maybe hometown referee decisions where Clare got a couple of breaks. They were making their displeasure known. And that crowd, even the 200, it was only 200, the fact that they were there added something to it. Do you know what I mean? We were going away from the silence that we'd become accustomed to last winter. And hopefully, as we get into the latter stages, you know, the crowd becomes a factor. Because, you know, Clare and Waterford now in Thurles, you know, if the crowds are back, Nathan, there'll be 40,000 down there. You know, people rampant and mad for a bit of action. And, you know, when hurling matches, you know, someone scores a goal or there's an incident or whatever, the crowd get into it. It adds something to it. And the championship last season lacked that. And I think, as I said, you know, that's something as well that you have to factor into account, that the players feed off the energy that the crowd brings. And you can imagine Limerick and Cork, you know, in the Gaelic grounds or whatever, or Kilkenny and Wexford in Nolan Park or Wexford Park, you know, down the line, you know, the crowd getting into it, it does make an impact and it does add something to it. And we've unfortunately missed that, but hopefully it's on the way back.
And we know, and I don't think it's just even nostalgia or hype or anything, what crowds at Munster matches are like. There is a sound and a feel to a big Munster hurling day. For players, they're obviously used to it now, being out there playing matches with nobody watching at all. When you think back to your days and some of those great, great days in the sunshine, how aware were you of that flow of the crowd and the flow of momentum in the crowd, and when the chance of Clare, Clare, Clare would come up? As a player, would you hear it? Would you notice it?
Oh, you did, or tip. I mean, we were on the receiving end of it, you know, at times as well, where, I mean, I'll never forget the 97 Munster final, Nathan. I mean, you know, first really big match in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and I've never experienced an atmosphere like it. I mean, we came out and the reception we got was just awesome. And, you know, you're buzzing with adrenaline, you're pumped up and you've waited for this. And I remember thinking to myself that there's no way Tip would get a reception like that. Tip came out and it felt like the ground shook. Do you know what I mean? And it was just a cauldron. And like, if you couldn't get up for, I mean, you know, that atmosphere and savor that, I mean, there was something wrong with you. But there's no doubt about it. Like when you were playing Cork or maybe Tip or Limerick or whatever, and they got on a roll and the crowd got into it and the crowd got behind them, you know, it certainly made a difference. And similar, I suppose, to us, you know, when we were going well in the 90s, you know, when the Clare crowd got behind us, you know, you fed off that energy. And I can remember against, we played Cork in 98, and they'd given us a trimming in the league semi-final. There was all kinds of allegations that Lugnet had trained us that morning. And basically, you know, we weren't up for it and our team couldn't afford not to be up for it. And Cork gave us a trimming. But Lugnet used it as nearly a stick to beat us with. And we trained really hard and we were really up for Cork and delivered probably one of our best performances. And I remember Lugnet going down along the sideline the second half and the Clare crowd kind of rose and he was fist pumped or whatever. And you just got that sense of energy from the crowd. So, yeah, I've real sympathy for the players because that's the buzz. That's one of the big parts of why they do this and make the sacrifices and train the way they do.
And I guess that changes the dynamic, Jamesy, as well. Like, you talk about, like, Clare, you had to be on it. Like, you also had a team in 97, 98, you know, with some of the most skillful players we've ever seen play the game. But the emotional side of it, you needed that. With that not being there for the players at the moment, does that maybe play into a Limerick's hands, who we know maybe are the most technically skillful team right now, that for the underdogs, for the teams who are trying to do something this season, like a Clare, and try and get a bit of momentum, it's an awful lot harder to do without a crowd there behind you to give you that momentum?
Yeah, it arguably is. I mean, again, listen, you know, not to take anything away from Limerick, and, you know, I'm sure the Limerick lads would say that, listen, you know, the Limerick supporters are as vocal as anybody, that, you know, when they get behind them, they're great supporters. That certainly is, you know, is its own tidal wave. And I mean, I was on the receiving end of that in 94 when, you know, they gave us a real hiding in that Munster final. And certainly the Limerick crowd were just, you know, feasting on it. So, you know, I think the Limerick players will miss it as much as anybody. But as you said, yeah, look, they have 12 irons in their pockets now. They're hugely experienced. They've been around the block. And certainly the underdog playing them could do with any help that they can get. And if that's Clare or Waterford or whoever, with the crowd getting into it, you know, you can imagine, Nathan, you know, when Cork and Limerick play in Thurles on the 3rd of July, you know, if there were 45,000-50,000 people there and the Cork crowd, Cork had stuck a couple of early goals and the Cork crowd were getting into it, the lift it would give those Cork players, you know, there's going to be some people, thankfully, at that game, but, you know, not the 45,000 or 50,000 that you'd hope. So, yeah, it's not going to be the difference between probably, you know, winning the All-Ireland, but certainly in terms of small little percentages at crucial times in matches, it's nice to be able to ride that wave of energy that you often get maybe from the crowd. And maybe we're overplaying it. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows, really, I guess. The looking at Clare then, ahead of the weekend, the league obviously started very slowly first day out against Antrim and then seemed to build into a bit of a crescendo with that performance against Kilkenny by the end. You'd have to assume, looking at that, that they're timing their run quite nicely then, that they were working the players quite slowly to start and building towards this coming Sunday, that actually the momentum that Clare have and all the questions and all the controversy that was there, has all that been pushed to one side now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously, you know, the off the field stuff didn't help, and you know, you can't be, you know, you couldn't be human, I suppose, if you weren't a Clare player and you weren't aware of all that negativity and that you know, background noise. But listen, still, you know, Clare went up to Antrim, you know, expecting to win the game and didn't, and you know, credit to Antrim, but it was the worst possible start for Brian, and a big wake up call, I suppose, for the players, and maybe just the kick in the backside that they needed. Like, they had Wexford coming to Park the following week, and obviously Davy, and you know, that concentrated the minds, and there was a much better performance, and they probably should have won the game. You know, the sending off changed things, and you know, Wexford, credit to them, came back and got the results. So Clare were under pressure, you know, played two, lost two, but got the show back on the road against Laois. And then Nathan went, and this, I think, where things really started to turn for them, went to Parnell Park, you know, were hurling really well, gave away two bad goals that, you know, seemed to swing the momentum and lash the other way, and regrouped and, you know, got a good win. Tony Kelly was excellent back on the pitch. Really important for Clare that he picked up, or seemed to have held on to that rich vein of form that he had last season. He was excellent. And that was a really good win because, you know, I'm sure Dublin targeted that match as a winnable game, given that, you know, Clare were maybe a bit vulnerable and maybe low on confidence. But then to follow that up then 7 days later, Kilkenny in Ennis, real test, you know, Walter Walsh on the pitch, TJ Reid, Adrian Mullen. And again, it was a cracking performance and a cracking match. And, you know, Clare lost David McInerney, lost Darren Fitzgerald, a cornerback very, very early on. And, you know, really, as you said, like, it was a great 7 days for Clare and that Clare team and Brian Lowe and the players, because now you have an awful lot of positivity and momentum to take into the championship and perfect preparation. I mean, to play Kilkenny 2 weeks before you play Waterford in the first round, there's no better test. That's the barometer of where you are. And Clare, to be honest with it, we're up for it and got the win on the day, and deservedly so.
Tony Kelly's in a position now where there is a big weight of expectation on him that he needs to play well for Clare to be able to win. Does that look like it rests easy on his shoulders?
I think it does, Nathan. I mean, like, Tony would always have, I suppose, high standards set for him and probably sets those same high standards for himself. I mean, that comes with the territory when you're, you know what I mean, I suppose, the prodigy that he was, you know, and your player of the year and young player of the year back in 2013. And look at, maybe Tony, you know, struggled maybe to an extent with that. I mean, there were a few years where we saw pockets of brilliance from him, where, I mean, Tony could get 3 or 4 points in a 4 or 5 minute spell, but then maybe, you know, not have another possession for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And obviously teams had a plan to deal with him, and he was been man-marked, and, you know, teams trying to curb his influence and so on. And maybe Tony didn't maybe have, you know, the impact for Clare that maybe, you know, he would have liked to have had himself, or that maybe Clare needed to have. But certainly, look at last season. I mean, I think that, you know, Brian coming in as manager clearly maybe was pushing the right buttons. Look at, he was involved with him with UL. Tony worked, I'd say, incredibly hard. He just looked to be in unbelievable shape physically. He got a lot stronger, was in great shape physically, and just found himself, I suppose, Nathan, in form. And I mean, look at, he was exceptional for us last year. I mean, some of the points he got against, you know, Wexford in particular were outrageous. And obviously, look at, without him in the form he was, without some of the players we were missing, John Connell obviously missed the season. Colin Galvin was gone through injury. It was vital that he you know, put the team in his back and carried them, and he did that. So for him, and there was, you know, injury concerns, for him to come back against Dublin, get 20 points, and stick the two balls in the back of the net against Kilkenny was absolutely great for Tony. And his own, I suppose, confidence and belief, whatever, or form, but also for Brian and the rest of the players, because they know when Tony's in that kind of form, it really, really bodes well for Clare chances, because, you know, he obviously takes serious watching.
Have you seen enough in those last couple of performances then from Clare to suggest they can overturn the 9 points that was between the sides in the All-Ireland series last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, Nathan, I was at that game, and I think, I'm not sure, there wasn't that long, maybe 10 minutes left, Aaron Cunningham had a really good chance for Clare. I think it was 5 in it at the time. Shanahan laid off a ball and you know, it was a great goal chance. And look at it, he put it, maybe that height, it's maybe that bit easier for a goalie to stop. And look at Stephen O'Keefe made a great save. Watch went down the pitch, and I think Stephen Bennett got a point, and that put them six clear, and that was the game there and then. But if that goal had gone in, Clare were right back in it with momentum, and it could very well have gone the other way. Now, look at, you can talk about ifs, buts and maybes, but for me, Watford are missing Stephen O'Keefe, who, along with Nicky Quaid, was the outstanding goalkeeper in the country last year. You know, probably unlucky to lose out on the All-Star. We all know how important puckouts is, how good he was in that area, how mature, experienced he was. And I think he's a big loss to Watford at the weekend. There's Noel Tighe de Burke, obviously, who was All-Star last year, absolutely fantastic, you know, the sweeper role. There's doubts over Conor Prunty. There's maybe doubts over Jamie Barron, we're hearing as well. Although I think he's likely to play. And I know Shane Bennett is back, but certainly Watford, you could argue, were depleted to a little extent from last year. And on the Clare side, look, we've got Colm Galvin back, who's a massive player for us, totally underrated, big game performer. And John Conlon is back. David Reedy didn't play last year. So, you know, Brian has those guys available. We're hoping, obviously, that David McInerney, he's touch and go. He went off with an injury against Kilkenny after starting really well. But I think Clare, like, won't have any fear of Watford, Nathan. And listen, you know, under no illusions, Watford were in the Munster final on merit last year, in the All-Ireland final on merit, beat us along the way, and it was 9 points in at the end, whatever way you look at it. But Clare historically have no fear of Watford, and given the momentum that we've, as I said, taken out of the latter part of the league, I think the Clare will feel that, look at, they've got a good chance, if they can play to their potential and play well at the weekend, that they'll be really competitive and won't be far away.
Waterford in the league used 35 players across the six games. Is that building a bit of debt, or is that looking for something that they're missing?
I think it's a bit of both, Nathan. I mean, I was down in Limerick last year for the Waterford Limerick match, right? And Darragh Lyons and Neil Montgomery and there was, you know, Caelum Lyons, all these guys were starting. I know Stephen Frampton, you know, from Stephen's a selector with Liam Callow, whatever, and I was talking to Stephen afterwards, and you know, listen, he said, sure, look, the only way we're gonna find out about these guys is to see them. And look at the moment the impetus that those guys gave to the team, either starting or from the bench later in the year. I mean, Darragh Lyons came on in a couple of games and really got to the pitch straight away, made an impact, did that against Cork, did it against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland semi-final. Neil Montgomery was injured. He might very well have started in the championship, but I saw him in the league last year. And there's a Éireann Daly played, I think, in that Limerick match. I think all the managers, I think Brian Lowen, if you were to look at it, probably used close to 30, 32 players. I think the managers felt that they'd no choice anyway, given, you know, the risk of injury and given how, you know, they didn't have the lead in that they'd normally have. So I think Liam Cahill, look at the only way you're going to find out about these guys, Nathan, is to play them and give them their opportunities. And he did that last year and unearthed a few gems. And, you know, there's a message there to your panel as well. Look at, guys, I believe in you. You know, I'm going to give you the opportunity. It's up to you to take it. And I don't know if he's necessarily found, you know, a couple of starters, but certainly he's probably added to the depth in his panel, and I think that's something every manager was looking at with this year's league.
Yeah, and you mentioned John Conlon coming back for Clare, his importance. It looks as though Austin Gleeson's going to be fit as well to start for Waterford, and you want these guys on the pitch for these sort of games.
You do, and the Conlon experiment at centre back, I mean, I was really, you know, big question marks about that for me, but the Kilkenny game, the Clare half back line were excellent. I mean, Dermot Ryan was man of the match. Really good young player, great attitude, great fella. Dave McInerney was on the other wing. Played midfield last year, Nathan, and just, you know, had no real impact on the game against Limerick, no real impact on the game against Waterford. And he's too good a player, you know, for Clare, and too important to Clare for that to happen. So, you know, back at wing back, had missed obviously the early rounds of the league through injury, but he was really, really good in the 25 minutes. And Conlon was excellent at centre back. Really surprised me. He was just read it very well and very cool on the ball, just did the simple thing with it, you know, gave the right stick pass, gave the right hand pass to somebody in a better position, and just gave us a bit of authority and a physical presence in the middle of the defence that maybe, you know, maybe Brian felt that that we needed. So, you know, the jury in Clare certainly went from being really kind of, I'd say, you know, questioning this to suddenly, hey, hang on a second now, maybe this is a stroke of genius. Now, yeah, it could all go pear-shaped on Sunday, right? And maybe it's a wrong move, and maybe John Conlon starts at centre-forward. But at the moment, you know, the Clare half-back line, you know, if McInerney starts along with Jim Ryan and John Conlon, we'll be hoping would be a, you know, a line of strength for us, and we can hopefully get on top of that Waterford half-forward line, who, with their ball-winning ability, you know, it's something the Clare have to obviously plan and try and get on top of.
I know you're going to be at the game for us on Sunday as well, so we'll have plenty more time for preview, but how are you calling it?
I think Waterford are favourites, Nathan. I think look at it, and this is not now, you know, talking down Clare's chances.
This is whatever, Clare's version of Yerra.
Yerra, exactly, absolutely. But Limerick were, or Waterford were in the Munster final on merit last year, and went toe-to-toe with Limerick when, you know, Clare really, we know, came up short, and Limerick won that match pretty comfortably. Waterford beat Clare by 9 points. Whatever way you dress it up, they won that match by 9 points last year. Now, I think the gap will have closed. And I think Clare have a right chance, Nathan. But if you were to ask me to put the house on it, I think the money would be going on Waterford. And I think that, listen, in the All-Ireland final, the experience they have, the players they have, if they play to their potential, arguably they have a little bit more than Clare. But Clare, not without hope, and I'm giving them a real fighting chance.
So that's Sunday, Waterford against Clare, Semple Stadium, 3:30. James, you'll be down there reporting on it for us here on Sunday's Off the Ball. Saturday is all about Leinster. Quarterfinals, Dublin against Antrim at 3 o'clock, Laois against Wexford at 6 o'clock. I want to play you a clip from this morning's OTB AM. It's former Galway keeper James Skettle. He was on with Jaron Owen on OTB AM talking about Davy Fitzgerald, and he's of the opinion that Davy's style is no longer having the desired effect with Wexford.
I just don't think they have it. I'm not trying to be dismissive or negative towards them in any way, shape or form. I've played them enough times to see that their passion, their game style is kind of repetitive, if I'm honest. I know David Fitz said last year after the semi-final, the Leinster semi-final, that they tried 5 different formations. I saw 1 formation, maybe 2. So I don't know where they're getting these formations out of, but they didn't work. You know, they were beaten by 9 points or 7, 9 points, yeah. So I'm not sure where, you know, where all the tactical knowledge, like where they say, do they think they're more tactically ahead of people than they actually are, you know? So I know it sounds I'm being very negative towards Wexford, being dismissive, but look.
No, I mean, that's the whole point. We've got to try and establish where the tiers are at this stage. If you were in charge of Wexford, like with this group of players, or is there anybody out there who could do things differently with this group of players and catapult them into that top tier?
Yeah, well, you're looking at the best coaches, aren't you? Like, you're looking at what Paul Finnerk has done with Clare. You're looking at what he's now done with Limerick. You know, he's transformed a team, let's say, who have been there, they almost there, but not quite there, let's say, and brought an Ireland to them both, you know? Like, so he's kind of person who come in with a serious air of positivity and no off-the-field baggage. You know, that's a key thing as well. Because I mentioned a few minutes ago about prepare, well, play, well, get a bit of luck. The preparation for Wexford has been staggered, in my opinion, let's say. There've been too many highlights or lowlights, should I say, in the public eye with regard to off-the-field activities and on the field or on the sideline, should I say, activities. And they don't need that distraction, do you know what I mean? And, like, I've been in the dressing rooms with David Fitz, like, and it's an intense place, you know what I mean? It's quite a, how would I put this lightly? It's quite a hyper dressing room, I put it that way, yeah. So the concentration levels could be focused elsewhere, if you get me. I'd be looking at it like a partner type person who'd be really good, really genuine. Like, they brought in Niall Corcoran, who was a good hurling man as well, a Galway guy who spent a lot of time in Dublin. He'd have a good hurling knowledge, but I don't know how much of an influence he's allowed to have there, should I say. But I do think as well, this possibly could be, in my opinion, the last year for Davy. I think there's going to be a change coming this year, because, like, they've had relatively minor success. They got a Leinster Championship, which is great, but I think that county now is looking for more, especially when you see budgetary figures, what's being implied into the team.
Yeah, that is James Skettle, the former Galway goalkeeper, talking about Wexford. And not overly impressed, I think it's fair to say, Jamesy, with what they have been doing tactically. And it doesn't seem to see much sign of progression tactically over the last 4 or 5 years under Davy.
Well, I suppose, listen, James has been very honest there. You know, he's given his opinion. And I suppose, look, at for much of his playing career, you know, that Galway team had Wexford's number. You know, there's no getting away from it. And even in 2019, you know, Wexford went to Salt Hill, I think, and I think drew the game, Nathan, and again, I'm 99% sure they drew the game when they really had Galway on the rack. Mm. Galway didn't play well. They were never going to get a better chance, to beat them and kind of didn't take it. And prior to that, I mean, Galway had, as I said, had really managed to handle pretty comfortably, you know, that Wexford game plan, and had won most of those matches and won them relative ease. So I think James is just, he's articulating, I suppose, you know, the Galway stance and the Galway perspective, that they felt that, you know, playing a sweeper, I suppose, if Galway got ahead, if Galway managed to get their nose in front of the scoreboard, with an extra defender back, they weren't going to be able to break Galway down. And most of the games, you know, from my memory, kind of turned out that way. So, it's a massive year for Wexford, because, you know, you rewind the clock and go back to 2019, you know, the All-Ireland semi-final against Tipperary. I mean, they were exceptional on the day. You know, I mean, great year for them. You know, obviously won Leinster, played deservedly so, I suppose, in that game against Kilkenny, and had Tipperary on the rack. I mean, you know, when John McGrath was sent off, and I don't know, Wexford 5 points clear, you couldn't see Tip winning the match without getting at least, you know, you were saying at least one goal, if not two. And yet, Tip did it with points. And, you know, Wexford, the way they played was so refreshing. I mean, you know, the energy levels, the runners coming from deep. And everyone expected them to kick on last year. And last year went so pear-shaped, Nathan. You know, you just have to wonder, has the Davy Fitz experiment now ran its course? Or look at, can they come again with something different? But the evidence from the league, you know, doesn't seem to indicate that's going to be the case, because, I mean, lost to Kilkenny emphatically. Now, again, you know, I don't know if there was anything to be gained. Obviously, Davy will expect to get over Laois at the weekend and face Kilkenny in the championship, and maybe he was playing his cards close to his chest. But, you know, they were down against Clare. Clare were 7-up until the sending off, so they could conceivably have lost that game. Drew with Antrim, you know, which, again, Kilkenny, you know, were really professional and got that job done. I know Clare lost Antrim, and not to pay any disrespect to Antrim, but, you know, if you're a really top-tier county, you know, you're expecting to beat Antrim, especially with the genie out of the bottle and, you know, the element of surprise that Antrim might have had against Clare gone. You know, people would have been forewarned going up there. So certainly there's no form line to indicate that Wexford are genuine All-Ireland contenders at this point in time. And, you know, I don't think that he's discovered anything, you know, radically new. I don't see, as I said, you know, the few percent that a few, you know, really, really good young players might give them. And maybe I'd be proved wrong, but for me, Wexford are outside the top tier of genuine All-Ireland contenders.
What about Dublin then? Because this could be one of the more interesting matches of the weekend. Antrim against Dublin. You spoke there about what Antrim achieved during the league, particularly that win to start it off against Clare. Dublin did beat Antrim and beat them quite convincingly during the league. But Dublin without Eamon Dillon for the championship. I know they're boosted by the under-21s last night. But do you look at Antrim and think there was enough there in the league to show that they can kick on into the championship, or were they maybe peaking a little bit earlier than everybody else and there was that element of surprise that they had as well?
Well, okay, there was possibly an element of surprise, but I mean, look, to take Clare's scalp on day one was, I mean, and listen, that game, you know, Clare were ahead, and okay, Antrim maybe got a little bit of a break, maybe with the you know, a softish goal just before half time that Avery Quilligan should have stopped, maybe. But like, they still saw it out and closed it out and were right there battling. I mean, they were ahead, I think, in the Wexford match, you know, with a couple of minutes left. So for me, Nathan, no team arguably took more positives out of the league than Antrim. I mean, it was a you know, if you're an Antrim player, having put the work in, and then gone on and performed the way they did and performed credibly in every game, sure, you have to, that validated everything that they had done. And again, like, if Antrim were playing Kilkenny at the weekend or Wexford at the weekend, you know, maybe that feeling, or Tipperary or Cork, that feeling would be there, that deep down, you know, this game isn't maybe winnable. They will have none of those thoughts. As far as they're concerned, this is an eminently winnable game. You know, Dublin, have Dublin really got an identity? Have Dublin really been that impressive? You know, we all know that Dublin beat Galway a couple of years ago and then, you know, came unstuck against Laois. So, and in part, Tulchan and Navan, I mean, that's not a place that's necessarily going to be familiar to the Dublin players. So that game has ambush written all over it. Now, again, maybe maybe, you know, if you're a Dublin player, you're gritting your teeth listening to you and me discussing this. And maybe the fact and the reality is that Dublin have been operating at a higher altitude over the years than Antrim have. And, you know, Dublin haven't been, you know, playing against Galway and Wexford and Kilkenny and been really competitive in those games. The Dublin players are maybe thinking, listen, you know, the knives are sharpened and we're going to be ready for the battle, and we're going to go out and give the performance that we're capable of, and we're going to put Antrim to the sword, and we're going to do it early. And maybe, again, you know, that'll be a message that the Dublin players and management will want to send out. But, Nathan, again, I haven't seen the evidence that Dublin have really found their identity. Again, I thought against Clare, the game was there to be won. Clare were the ones that gritted their teeth, batting down the hatches and really wanted it more. And again, I'm not convinced about Dublin and where Dublin are at. Like,
Cork, it's just such inconsistency, it's impossible to predict how they'll turn up.
And that's the point. I mean, again, Cork, you know, were you know, really beaten well by Waterford last year, in some respects. And you know, Cork were maybe vulnerable. And I thought Dublin had a really good chance against Cork. But Cork, you know, always looked like they were going to win that game. So I just remain to be convinced about Dublin. Now, obviously, the win last night has to have given them, you know, a shot in the arm. And it was a great win, real, real positive. But I think they'll win, Nathan. I think, look, they're too professional not to get the job undone. And as I said, if Antrim had lost the five league matches, then, you know, this could have been, maybe complacency might have been there. If there's any complacency in the Dublin camp, you know, Matty Kenny has surely rooted it out at this stage, and the senior players are you know, waving the fists and wagging the fingers at, you know, we're going to get the job done. And I if they're right, and they should be right, then they win this game, and they win it with a bit to spare. But still, for me, you know, behind Galway and certainly Kilkenny and Leinster.
Jamesy, great stuff as always. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Cheers, Nathan. Looking forward to it.
All right, Jamesy O'Connor, one of the lucky ones who's going to be at Semple Stadium for that game between Waterford and Clare. And we'll have full coverage of all the weekend's hurling right here on Off the Ball. And the football as well. If you want your football conversation, well, download the football pod with Paddy and Andy and with Tommy Rooney. It's up online right now. Get onto the OTB Sports app. Comes out every single Wednesday. It is the best analysis around ahead of the football championship. Going to take a quick break and then we're talking about the Lions.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.